Hello and welcome to my new podcast all about gardening. In this episode we're going to be talking about sowing some seeds, taking cuttings, log piles, but to start things off, how about a nice stroll through the April garden? Well, 2024 has just been wet weather after wet weather, so now I've got a fine day. It's brilliant to get out in the garden. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing I'm noticing walking through the garden, apart from this golden object in the sky, which we haven't seen for months, is the birdsong. You can just hear it everywhere, all over the place, and it's quite loud in certain areas. Just as I said that, it went a bit quieter. But you'll be able to hear it in the background as I talk about the garden. So I thought I'd just do a quick tour of the garden and just talk about some things that are going on. Everything's been battered by storm after storm this year, so some of the flowers are going over quicker than maybe I'd like. The first plant I'm seeing here is a camellia. It's one called Debbie, very floriferous, one of the earlier flowering ones. And it's now just starting to go over, but still a few beautiful flowers on there that haven't been battered by the wind. To the back of me, there's a magnolia. This is Solongiana alba, so it's like a cup-shaped one or goblet-shaped one. They're all the flowers go upwards, and it's a nice white one, that's hence the alba. Starting to go over now, but I can just see a few buds still waiting to open, so we'll probably have another couple of weeks of colour off that. We've had some lovely early growth this year, so I've got a nice Acer palmatum. One's Atropurpureum. Atropurpureum means dark purple. It's opened up its leaves now, a lovely dark purple colour next to the magnolia. Oh, there's a lovely viburnum there, one of the paniculata types. And then I'm walking into a rose garden here. And honestly, hear those birds when I'm going around. So I'm walking into a rose garden now, and the roses, I think, are about 3 weeks ahead of normal with growth. I've even got some on one part of the garden that's actually starting to bud up and get ready to flower in the next couple of weeks. Actually, just looking at one now with a bud on the top. Those were pruned September time, October time, and then I tend to leave them and just maybe give them a little bit of a tidy mid-February, early March at the latest here in Cornwall. And they've seemed to be growing quite well from that. You've got to be careful when you're doing the late winter prune. If you prune them a little bit too early, you can encourage that younger growth to increase, only to hit a few frosts. Usually mid-February in Cornwall we get away with that, so we're okay. Oh, more plants here. There's hydrangeas. They've all in full leaf now, and some of them actually got flowers forming on the ends of the stems. We've got a lovely fuchsia here, a golden fuchsia called Genii. That's in full leaf and actually starting to produce these lovely red flowers. Azaleas. Azaleas everywhere in this garden. Perfect plant for Cornwall. Love it here in our climate and our acid soil. More camellias here flowering away. There's a nice red one there. I don't know what one that's called. Cherry blossom. That's looking great, and not too much confetti on the floor after all the winds, which is quite amazing. This is one called a Managawa, a nice upright columnar shaped one. And we've got some dogwoods here. These are all leafing up. There's actually flower buds on the end of the stems as well, so that does seem early to me. More roses, lots of weeds starting to appear on this area of the gardens, which is a bit of a concern. With the plant growth comes the weed growth. We've got a Philadelphus here, a mock orange, that's in full leaf. One with lovely lime green to yellow foliage, Pyrus. This one here is just finishing flowering, but you've got all the red growth on the end. That's the early growth. That red pigment in the leaves is to protect the plant from the sun at its early stages. Pittosporum Tom Thumb, or Tenuifolium Tom Thumb. That's got bits of green growth on the end of it, so that's growing away. Oh, a lovely Acer palmatum dissectum here. So just with the dissectum, they just need a little bit more shelter from the wind because of those fine leaves. Ah, we've got a Weigela in full leaf, and the flowers are starting to form on that as well. It's going to be really beautiful in a week or two. This is one called Susan. It's a variegated version. I mean, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, and the plants are growing. I'm a happy gardener.
Wasn't that birdsong just fantastic? Well, that's enough strolling around the gardens. I've got some work to do. So it's off to the greenhouse to get some seed sowing done.
Okay, seed sowing. So, quick seed sow of marigolds. Perfect for April. So, fill the tray with sterilised compost. So, in this case, it's multi-purpose, but you can do it with seed compost as well. Nothing too rich, because the seedlings, when they first come up, don't want a four-course meal, so you don't want anything with too much feed in it. So, sterilised multi-purpose compost is ideal for marigolds. So that's the tray filled up to the top. I just skim off the top with my hands and then I push it down gently. I have a little wooden thing that's the same shape as the tray, just to push it down just a little bit. And now I've got to water it. So to do that, I put it on the floor and I get my watering can. My watering can's got a rose on the end, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to tip it so it starts coming out of the rose, but off the tray, and then bring it onto the tray. And then when I've watered the tray, take it off the tray and lift the watering can back. So here we go. That way you don't get the dribble coming out at the beginning and ruining your soil or your compost. And when you lift it, you don't get the dribble coming onto the tray. And then you don't get all those little digs and little channels in your compost. So it's nice, still nice and flat for you to sow your seeds. Now, I'm going to get my marigold seeds out of the packet. And I'm just going to sprinkle them over the top. Not over-sowing. I'm sure you can get a little video showing you how to do this. But not over-sowing. They don't want to be all touching. Just remember, you've got to prick this tray out later. So when they germinate, you'll be pricking them out. And if you put too many there, you'll be here forever. I would say there's probably, this is a really rough guess, probably about 200 to 300 seeds on an average size seed tray. Now, marigolds need a little bit of light to germinate. Some seeds need light, some seeds don't want light. In this case they do, so I am going to put a little bit of compost over the top, but not very deep. So I've got a little sieve and I'm just sprinkling it over, just so it's just covers some of the seeds. I can still see some of the seeds through it, but it's just covering the seeds a little bit, just to keep that moisture locked in. And then I'm going to put this on a north facing windowsill in the house. I could put a little clear cloche over the top, which will help keep the humidity there, but I don't think I really need to bother. Well, it will take about a week to germinate and you'll get the little seedlings up, but in 6 to 8 weeks I'm hoping that they'll be pricked out and ready to go in the garden. Seeds can be quite technical, but generally the ones we want in our garden are easy to grow. Just make sure you read the instructions on the packet. And once they're germinated, prick them out. That's a job I'll be doing next time. Well, seeds are a reasonably cheap way of filling your garden with plants, but another really cheap way is to take cuttings. And April is the perfect time for softwood cuttings. I love it when the days get longer because you get lots of growth on your plants, and this is soft growth, and that is perfect, funnily enough, for soft wood cuttings. And I'm going to take some of fuchsias here at the moment. I've got a little bush in a pot and I've got it on my little potting bench. I've filled a seed tray full of compost, and this is multi-purpose compost, but you can use seed compost as well. And I've really wet it, so it's sopping wet. And now it's nice and firm down and it's nice and wet, it's ready for these fuchsia cuttings to go in. So what I do, I grab my fuchsia bush and I snip off a piece of the plant, and this is about 5 inches long, and I snip it off the plant just above a node. Now a node is where the leaves join the stem, and now I'm going to cut just under the next node up on that piece, and it's going to be a slope cut just below the node. And that's where all the cells that will turn into roots are actually deciding what to do in this very active part of the plant. So I'm now persuading it to root. I remove the leaves either side and the little bud and a little green fly on this one as well. Now I get rid of that. And now I've got a little cut in. It's got 4 leaves on and a little shoot coming off at the top. I'm going to dab a hole in the compost. Put it in, and it's about halfway in is that little cutting. Push the compost around the cutting, this nice wet compost, let it know it's home, and that's it, that's my cutting. And that's going to make me a fuchsia, hopefully. I'm going to take lots and lots off this plant, and then when I've finished, I'm going to put this in the cold greenhouse at this time of year. You don't want your cuttings to get too hot, so you could put it on a north-facing window in your house. And then you can take one of these little plastic trays. It looks like a seed tray, but it's plastic. Cheap as chips to buy. Or you could make something out of a polythene bag if you wanted, as long as it kept away from the cuttings. And I put that over the top. And that keeps the humidity there, keeps the moisture around the leaves, and stops the fuchsia cuttings wilting. Leave it for 4-6 weeks. You should have lots and lots of roots then, and you'll be able to pot them up into a 7-inch pot. And there you are, fuchsias for near enough free. Give it a try.
There are so many plants you can propagate this way. My little greenhouse is getting rather full. Honestly, taking cuttings can get quite addictive, and they're as cheap as chips to do. However, it's not just plants I enjoy in my garden. The creatures we share our gardens with provide endless joy and entertainment. You might not realise it, but attracting wildlife to our gardens will actually help us. Birds, insects and other creatures all dwell in our pretty borders, some eating slugs, snails, aphids and other pests. So to start things off attracting all this wildlife, how about a pile of rotting wood in your border? It'll look good. Promise.
Well, there we go. That's a couple more logs on my log pile. I've got a really strange bit of garden here. There's patches that are in the shade and patches that are in a little bit of sun. So I've got a very varied planting here. I've got some shade tolerant plants and I've got some plants that will obviously grow a little bit more in the brighter areas. In the middle of it all, because it's on the edge of a woodland, but there's a rose garden one side, but there's woodland gardens around. It doesn't look out of place to make log piles and plant around them. They look quite decorative. With all the wind that we've had this winter, there's plenty of supply of log piles, but we're far too keen to shred branches and fallen debris from the trees nowadays, because shredders are so cheap and we love to throw wood chip round as a mulch. And yeah, wood chip's a reasonable mulch. I don't use it too much myself. But, you know, it does the job. It keeps the weeds suppressed. But the logs we shred up are a perfect habitat for beetles, amphibians, fungi. The larvae of the stag beetle lives in rotting wood and eats and burrows its way there in through it for a few years. And then it comes out and turns into the beautiful stag beetle that we occasionally see. All these things love log piles. And the more research I do, the more I find that log piles are so beneficial for nature. So I'm just placing them around and I'm going to plant around them as well. So as I said, I've got somewhere here with dappled shade. So I've got some fuchsias. I don't mind a little bit of shade. They like a little bit of light, but they'll get enough here. And then around some of the darker areas, I've got hostas, rodrosia there. I've got vinca, periwinkles. So, you know, they'll come out of the shade. They'll have little blue flowers. And this is a variegated type. So I'm hoping it'll keep its variegation. I've got hydrangeas at the back end, and these log piles have got all these plants growing around it. Oh, I've got foxgloves as well, digitalis growing there as well. So it's going to look really woodlandy and very, very pretty, and there's going to be loads there for nature. Honestly, with all the gales we've had, make yourself a decorative log pile.
Again and again during my research, log piles come up. Fungi and a whole multitude of creatures all rest, play and live amongst them. I've seen butterflies using them as sunbathing spots. Walking around them in an early morning, you'll see birds like wrens hopping around after all the insects. Log piles are also great around ponds. There's nothing nicer than a pile of rotting wood for our friendly garden amphibians to live in. They love to go into the cool, damp cavities where they actually spend most of their lives. And as said, plant lots of attractive plants around your logs. They look great.
It's come to the end of the day and I've just thought I'll give the roses a little bit of feed, because at this time of year they've just woken up, their growth is starting to kick in and they need a little boost, because roses aren't just hungry, they're very hungry. Kind of like my eldest son. You give them food, give them more food and they want more food again. I'm going to start things off this year by giving them a nice little early dose of Grow More, which is a balanced feed. It's 777. If you look at the back of the packet, there's three numbers. If it's 777, that means it's balanced across the lot. Now, the first number is for nitrogen, second number is for phosphorus, and the third number is for potassium. Nitrogen and potassium are what we mainly worry about being gardeners. Nitrogen is for growth, and potassium is for fruit and flowers. So at this time of year, you would start thinking about maybe giving them something with a little bit higher nitrogen in just to start that growth off. And then when they start to flower, encourage that flowering and fruiting by giving them high potash. Look at a tomato feed, that's high potash. And of course you want lovely fruit on your tomatoes, so that's why it's high potash. It's much more complicated than that feeding, but that's all we really need to know at this stage. So for my roses, it's the beginning of the year, I want to give them a balanced feed of Grow More. They'll love it. So what I'm doing, I'm avoiding the leaves and just sprinkling a little bit of Grow More as directed on the packet around the rose, and I'm just going to go around them all individually. If you get it on the leaves, you could burn them. So just be careful of that. I've got 6,000 here. It can be a bit of time, isn't it? And the Grow More will break down slowly, slowly giving feed to the plant, just boosting it along. And then when they start to flower, I'll then change over to a rose feed with high potash in, just to encourage them to grow. As I said, roses are so hungry. During the winter months, I actually put organic matter around them as a mulch. That's just over the top of the ground around the rose. And that's now broken down lovely. As there's moisture still in the soil, I'll probably mulch my roses again in the next couple of weeks, just to give them that little bit of natural feed to keep them going. Now's a good time to look into starting feeding your plants, especially if they're in pots, just to give them that early encouragement. Just watch out for the frosts. We can still get frosts into May. So if you produce too much young growth, that could get burnt by the frost. So just be a little bit careful of that. But I've got to get going with these roses. And I've looked at the two-week forecast. There's some colder weather, but nothing's looking like frost. So I'm going to take the risk and feed away now.
Thank you for listening to the first of these podcasts. And please like, subscribe and message. Next time I'll be talking about the lawn, composting, mad honey, and of course carrying on with my plant growing for some summer colour. Thank you again and see you soon.